I'm going to invite you to take hold of your copy of God's Word and turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. I'm speaking to you on this subject, ethics, right or wrong. Now, that word ethics might be fairly new to you. It certainly was to me when I was a student at South Elementary School in my hometown of Brownwood, Texas. But the librarian of our school there had asked me, along with several other boys and a few girls, to be her library assistants. And that required us to come to school early each morning and approach a stack of books that had been turned in from the day before and learn how to read the Dewey Decimal Code on each book and place it back in the proper shelf, making sure that the spine of the book cover was perpendicular to the front edge of the shelf. I learned many valuable lessons there as a student at South Elementary, and somewhere in that process of being a library assistant, the librarian suggested that I read a book. It was called Ethics, and why she wanted me to read that book, I don't know, but she said it would be a good book for me to learn about. And I asked her before I took the book and took up the offer what ethics meant. And she says, well, it teaches you the difference between what is right and what is wrong. And if you were to look up that word ethics in the dictionary, that would be part of the definition. What is right or what is wrong in a particular activity. That word ethics has become to mean more and more to me throughout my ministry as a pastor and here lately as a member of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. When I took up that book, the first serious book I'd ever read as an elementary student, I had no idea what an effect what I was learning then, just as a youngster, would have on me, particularly in this last week of August as I go to serve my first term with the ERLC. And I've been preaching to you on the subject of ethics and religious liberty, and I haven't really said anything to you about ethics. And you might have wondered, well, what does ethics have to do with the religious liberty? What does ethics have to do with the public policy arm of our Southern Baptist Convention? It has a lot to do. Because there are those gray areas in all of our lives, as individuals and as institutions and as nations, where we have to wrestle with what is right, what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral. And so I want to begin by way of introduction by acknowledging that that Bible that you hold in your hand does not speak to every issue that we face in life. Throughout history, believers have faced countless situations where the Word of God has remained silent. While the Old Testament law provided specific instructions and restrictions about daily activities in life, we as believers are not bound by the same covenant that God established with Old Testament Israel. We are, as Galatians 5:1 says, free. There is no yoke of bondage that has been placed upon us. Which leads us to the obvious question, how do we use that freedom that God has purchased for us on the cross of Calvary? Are there limits to my liberty? And the answer is yes. You need to ask yourself these series of questions that I've listed for you there in your bulletin. Question number one, this area that you're debating in your own mind, is it right or is it wrong for me to do? Ask yourself, first of all, is it necessary? Is it necessary for me to do that? When faced with one of life's gray situations, One of the ways we determine what we should do is to ask ourselves, do I need this? Is this thing, whether it's an object or a hobby or an activity or an entertainment, really necessary, or is it something that is going to be excess baggage in my life? Very simple question that will help us. The book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 1, addresses this when it says to us believers, lay aside every encumbrance or weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that has been set before us. The Greek word for that word encumbrance or weight is the word bulk. And it is what distracts us from where our focus and our energy ought to be in a given task. And we must make sure that we are running God's race in a way that is excellent. We can't do that if we're weighed down with worldly pursuits and distractions. So ask yourself, first of all, this area that you're debating about, is this right for a Christian to do or wrong for a Christian to do? Just ask yourself, is it necessary? Is it truly needful? Then ask yourself this question, is it profitable? 1 Corinthians 6:1 says, all things are lawful to me, but not all things are profitable. Now just think about the ramifications of that statement of fact. Now that I am a Christian, absolutely everything is lawful to me. And that's where so many carnal Christians place their focus, is the first half of that statement. They forget about the second half of the statement. And they say, well, I can do anything I want. I'm not under any list of regulations as a New Testament believer. All things are lawful to me. And it becomes a license to liberty or a license to sin in the life of the believer. And what we forget to focus on is that last half of that verse, that even though everything is lawful to me, not all things are beneficial. Not all things are profitable to me. You see, the question that we ought to ask ourselves when we're debating about whether something is right or wrong for me to do is not, what am I allowed to do, but what is profitable to me whenever I face this question of Christian liberty? I need to ask myself, is this going to help me? Is it going to build me up to be a better servant of God? Or is it something that's going to hold me back? If the answer to the question, is it going to make me better, isn't yes, then why should you as a believer be engaged in it? Next question. Is it Christ-like? Is this something that Jesus would do? And this takes a broad look at our liberty, but the verse that I give you here is 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, where it says, the one who says that he abides in Christ ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. As believers, our lives are supposed to emulate the Lord Jesus Christ, including how we live in the gray areas of life. When it comes to making tough decisions about how we exercise our freedom, it's always helpful to ask ourselves, is this what Christ would do? If you could see the Lord Jesus Christ doing this thing that you're considering, students and adults, then go for it. But if it's something that you cannot imagine in a million years that Jesus would be engaged in, then ethically speaking, it is not right for you. Christ lives in us. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in our life. And we need to live in a way that brings honor and glory to His name. I want to see the next question after, is it Christ-like? Ask yourself this. Is it a good testimony? Another important question is to say, how will this enhance my testimony? Maybe a better word for testimony is your witness to a lost and dying world. Here you are debating about what you should do. It's not just about you and the effect it has on you, but it's the effect that it has on other people who are witnessing you doing this activity. Colossians 4:5 speaks to this when it says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders. That word outsiders means people who are outside the faith. You go to people, to school with people who are outside the faith. They've never trusted Christ. You work with people who are outside the faith. They have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And so that verse, Colossians 4:5, again, speaking of those outsiders, says, conduct yourselves with wisdom toward outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. In other words, believers need to wisely consider how they behave and how that behavior impacts their testimonies. You see, how we live, particularly in those gray areas of life, shapes the way this lost and dying world views you. But it's not just you. It shapes the way they view our Christian faith. And even more important than that, it shapes the way they think about Jesus. If they see a believer's life that doesn't quite add up, that when it comes to the gray areas of life, that they choose the path of least resistance, they say to themselves, this Christianity and this Jesus stuff really isn't real because it has not affected the deepest, darkest corners of your life to where Christ has literally taken control of your being. We need to live in such a way that we are a good testimony to those who are outside the faith. Our lifestyle should adorn the gospel. Otherwise, it will be a hindrance to it. Next question. Will it build me up? It's not just the question of how my life impacts people outside the faith, but it is the question of how it impacts me personally. How will it affect me mentally? How will it affect me spiritually? How will me doing this activity affect me spiritually? Very important question. We need to ask ourselves the question, does this build me up? The scripture here is 1 Corinthians 10:23. Paul expands on his earlier exhortation with these words, all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. We heard that earlier, but now he adds this, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. What does that word edify mean? It means to build up. Whatever you do, whatever you have a question about in your mind, ask yourself, is this building me up physically? Is this building me up mentally? Is this building me up emotionally? Is this building me up spiritually? Whatever activity it is, whatever entertainment, hobby, diversion, it all needs to fall under this question. Is it of benefit to me personally? Finally, in your notes, perhaps the most important question is this. Is it glorifying to God? We need to ask ourselves this question because really it encompasses everything that we've said before. This activity that you're considering doing, this thing you're considering being involved in, can you honestly say in the depths of your heart, that it will bring glory to God. Some of you know immediately, no, it won't bring glory to God. Well, then why are you doing it? Why are you wasting your time with it? Ethically, it is something that you should not be involved with. You say, preacher, is it that simple? Yes, if you drill down to the essence of Christianity, our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ are to bring glory to Him because our lives are an unending act of worship, not only here today, but forever in eternity. Is this activity something that you literally think you could worship God with? Many of us are under the false assumption, well, this is my time to do with however I want to do it. And I know exactly where your heart is then. The last thing on your mind is to bring glory to God. But that's your purpose as a believer. God has set you apart. He has separated you so that you could bring praise and honor to His holy and to His matchless name. I want to state another fact, and that is you cannot glorify God if you are not a believer. That's the first act of worship for one of God's creations, is when the believer comes to the point in his or her life that they say, it's no longer about me, it's all about you, God. I see what I'm on this earth for. Is to bring glory to your name. That's my purpose in life. And so if you've never trusted Christ, this ethical question becomes a question of eternity. Are you willing to trust Him as your Savior and in doing so, glorify Him as an act of worship in your daily life? I know that most of the people I'm speaking to have trusted Christ. You have been separated by Him to worship Him throughout your life, but there might be an area of your life. The Holy Spirit has already been speaking to you through this simple, short little series of questions to show you you're living unethically when it comes to being the kind of Christian that the Word of God expects. There might be that gray area that you have surrendered to not the better angels, but the lesser angels in your life. And you've taken their counsel instead of the Holy Spirit's counsel. And God is convicting you right now by His Holy Spirit in that activity that you're involved in. And now is an opportunity for you to say, God, I want to bring glory to You in everything I say and do and every place I go. Help me to live a life that is ethical for Your honor and for Your glory. And we can do that right now as we bow together. Oh, dear Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You that He lived a self-sacrificial life and that He is our example of how we ought to live. And Father, I know there are many students here today, many young people, many adults that are struggling with areas that are gray. And I pray that they might apply this biblical list of questions to that activity, and that in that Your Spirit might guide them into all truth, and that they might follow You without reservation. Father, for that person who is lost without You, we pray that today they might trust You as their Lord and as their Savior, so that they could truly bring glory to You through their life. Father, You're dealing with some about coming and joining the life of our church. Father, we know that in becoming an active church member, that brings glory to Your name. We pray for them as they struggle with that decision. And we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.